This is Pure Decking for Thursday, June the 2nd, 2016. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like our current police state, information security, and the fact that I forgot to write a joke in my intro. I'm Morps, and tonight I have the BSV, which I've already replaced your opening sound clip. Sorry. We have the Static.
Smoke weed every day.
Every day.
I'm not doing the intro properly. I am currently drinking Carvela Limoncello. It tastes like candy. I was not expecting that. I was expecting more of a sour drink, but it's not bad. BSV, what are you drinking?
Water. Sorry.
Hard water?
Water. I'm Static. Sorry, I couldn't think of any joke.
Static, what are you drinking?
I am drinking Admiral Nelson's Black Patch Black Spiced Rum, cut with Bacardi 151.
Wow.
That's not cutting.
Oh, it is. The Black Patch is
151.
No. The Black Patch is good, but it is literally sugar. It tastes so sweet. So, gotta cut it. And the only other rum I have is 151.
Okay, usually I'm thinking you're cutting the alcohol, not the sweet taste.
This is too sweet, literally too sweet to drink, for me even.
Alright, found an intro clip here, this'll work. No, this'll work better. Madman! What are you drinking?
I'm drinking New Belgium's Mothership Wit, wheat beer.
I don't know that one.
They had a box of just random beers from that brewing company. So
oh, that's the one you discovered an IPA in.
Yes. They need to have big red warning labels on boxes. They contain an IPA.
And finally, are you...
No, sorry.
That was the wrong clip. I actually meant to play your ball cancer one. But hey, are you? What are you drinking?
I'll take that one. A big glass of I don't give a fuck.
Okay, fair enough.
Come straight out of the tap.
Straight out of the
tap. You may want to get your piping looked at.
Was it piped in directly from Michigan? Because someone didn't give a fuck there.
Yeah, it's got all the heavy metals the body needs.
Yummy arsenic.
Yummy arsenic. So, anyways, I guess we'll start off here. We can have a couple of stories we can just, you know, really dig into here. The first one is I've got the official statement from Europa.eu, which I don't know why, but for some reason that website strikes me as so Orwellian, it's not even funny.
No, that's because the EU does have the Ministry of Truth and the memory hole.
I don't know, maybe it's just me, but the European Commission's website is... That thing scares me, because it's so corporate. I don't know how else to describe it. I mean, it's like most corporations try to not look like this, and this is like, we run the bills.
It reads like you're watching someone in a brown suit with a very flat hat.
It really does. It really does. So, but I'm instead going to read bits from the article that The Verge did about it, because they at least explain it a little bit better, and it's not nearly as dry as the European Commission actual report. I can tell you, though, the Europeans report never actually defines xenophobic or hate speech. They just say illegal hate speech and xenophobic speech. So, the bit from The Verge here covering the article, Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, and YouTube agreed, and they say today, but I think this was actually on the 31st, the 31st, agreed to European regulations that require them to review the majority of hateful online content within 24 hours of being notified and remove it if necessary as part of a new code of conduct aimed at combating hate speech and terrorist propaganda. Well, it wasn't terrorist propaganda. The exact words in the report were xenophobic. That's a different thing.
Why are they banning xenomorphs?
I don't know. Maybe they're kind of dangerous.
They just want to give you a hug.
I've used the word xenophobic in a conversation with someone outside of this group, and they're like, what does aliens have to do with it?
Fucking amazing.
Yeah.
English, how does that work?
Mm-hmm.
The new rules, announced Tuesday by the European Commission, also oblige the tech companies to identify and promote independent counter-narratives to hate speech and propaganda published online. That means, taking a step back here, what the EU is asking Facebook, Twitter, Microsoft, and YouTube to do is to censor their content for what is considered hate or xenophobic speech and to promote speech that basically meets what the European government wants. They are quite literally asking these online companies to be the Ministry of Truth.
Not only are they asking to remove speech they don't agree with, they're wanting to promote speech. So it's getting rid of this article and then pushing another article with an opposite point of view.
Yes.
That's the bit that worries me.
Hate speech and propaganda have become a major concern for European governments following terrorist attacks in Brussels and Paris, and amid the ongoing refugee crisis, which has inflamed racial tensions in some countries. Now, this is something else that bothers me. It's always conflated that if you don't like the idea of large numbers of people immigrating to your country, you're a racist. Now, I'm not even talking politics here. I'm talking purely the concept of large numbers of uneducated poor people immigrating to your country. And you don't like the concept, you're a racist. They've equivocated political disagreement with hatred and racism and, fascism, really. So that scares me more than a little bit. And I don't even need to delve into the rest of the story. It's pretty easy to go to the rest of the story is talking about codes of conduct and, how shit's... the company's agreeing to it, and of course the company's agreeing to it. They don't want to get kicked out of Europe for not playing along. But the actual report is even crazier because, the second paragraph here, in order to prevent the spread of illegal hate speech, it is essential to ensure that relevant national laws transposing the Council framework decision on combating racism and xenophobia are fully enforced by member states in the online as well as the offline environment. This is literally Brussels telling the European Union's independent governments, which was never this is not how the European Union is supposed to work, by the way. It was supposed to be an international agreement of states, not a central government of Europe. It was not supposed to be the United States of Europe. They are literally telling the local governments what laws they will pass regarding limiting free speech. And now they're calling it hate speech and xenophobia and racism. And, admittedly, you may not want to hear people with racist views. But, there's this lovely thing. It's called changing the channel or closing the video or, going to a different website.
Or leaving pointing out square. How they're wrong and having an actual discussion and attempting to change minds or at least give out the opposite point of view.
So... Now let me go ahead and I'm going to try to get my full thoughts on this out a little bit because I know everybody is going to want to jump in on this. It is sad that you see it on college campuses too. What's Madman? What's his last name?
Indianapolis, the Dangerous Faggot Tour.
Yeah, him. You keep seeing him getting shouted out on college campuses for basically political speech they disagree with. You see. These rallies that were happening at Mizzou and, all over Europe and the European government now, basically trying to bury speech and political opinions they don't like. And it's bad enough that a government's trying to define racism and xenophobia, and actually control what people say on the subject. As opposed to letting idiots expose themselves as such and dealing with it, because the fact that you're seeing it on college campuses scares me more, because these are people who are going to have absolutely no earthly clue how to deal with dissenting views. And I don't mean racist views. I just mean people who don't agree with their point of view. They literally have no framework for dealing with ideas that are not comfortable to them. which is why you see them immediately attack anyone who supports a political candidate they don't like as racist, xenophobic, haters, whatever they're calling them, this day. And yeah, there's so many insults they throw at anybody who disagrees with them politically because they have no framework to actually debate them. They don't understand their own ideas well enough to argue with somebody who has different ideas. So they immediately go to racism. They immediately go to, sexism, homophobia, screaming at the top of the lungs. I think it's called no platforming, where it's just, if you don't agree with us, we're not going to let you speak at our campus. So they're not even letting them get their ideas out and then debating them. They're just trying to shut them down and make sure nobody else hears their ideas. And on one hand, it means that their ideas are so weak they can't stand the concept of dissenting opinions existing, because they have no way to defend them. But that's an intelligent argument. I don't think it's even intelligent. I think they just literally have no framework for dealing with speech they disagree with. And you're going to end up with a lot of dysfunctional people in the world who can't deal with concepts that they're not familiar with and they're not comfortable with. And I think that's one reason, like the migrants in Europe, if the people of Europe are really, as the European Union's thing here is trying to make it sound like, if they're really so sensitive to hate speech that they're, they can't deal with it, that they have to block it and filter it immediately. I mean, it's basically a new DMCA complaint process, but this time it's just for political opinions they don't like. Or mean comments, I guess, on YouTube videos. Like, what, if you call somebody a fag in a YouTube video, are you going to have your comment deleted and your account blacklisted now? I mean, that's just like...
Oh, yes. Dude. Sargon and Milo are both in Britain.
Yeah.
This will really affect them, and Breitbart has a lot of British journalists that this is going to affect.
So, my point is that because you're going to have a lot of people with no framework for dealing with ideas they don't know how to, they're not comfortable with, they're either going to roll over and let groups that they think are oppressed do things that are horrible, and you do hear people talking about Sargon especially, you hear people talking about police letting immigrants get away with things because they're afraid of being called racist. They're letting
the rotting and rape scandals.
Well, I don't really want to go into politics so much as the concept of you can't deal with dissenting opinions to the point that you just start shouting and no platforming. And
I think we're giving them more credit than they deserve. It's not about they can't deal with dissenting opinions. If you're having a debate and arguing merits, you could potentially lose the debate. But if I'm coming to a debate and arguing merits and facts, and you say I'm a rapist child molester, it doesn't matter what I say. People listen to character attacks more than actual reasoned arguments. Well, as one side is willing to do that, they're going to win the argument.
What happens, though, to all these college students who are losing their mind over, apparently somebody drew a swastika in a bathroom. Oh my God, graffiti's a thing.
A swastika, it was a poo swastika.
Oh, well, whoopty, fucking do what ink they used. Or stain, I guess, in this case. But, so somebody did that, and then somebody else said, somebody wrote chalk supporting Donald Trump, and that was hate speech. What are they going to do if Trump actually wins the election?
What do you mean?
I'm going to crack a beer and watch Detroit burn.
They're going to move to Canada.
I mean, I've pretty much laid out my thought here. I don't know. Who wants to jump in next? I'm trying to keep this calm because we could just turn this into a bitch.
I'll just give my one simple thing on it. Are you willing to go to jail for what you say?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it.
If you answered yes to that, using a moniker. I'm cool with using my real name on anything that I say on the internet.
I won't go that far just yet, but if you're willing to do that, then I will stand with you, beside you, in this fight that's to come. Because it isn't over yet. We're losing pretty badly right now, but it's going to get a hell of a lot worse before it gets better.
Oh, yeah. People don't really respond to abstract problems. Right now they're saying you can't say hate speech. No one cares about that because no one really realizes what hate speech is. Hate speech is whatever the government disagrees with. That's why the only way to have free speech is to tolerate all speech and then just argue with the speech that's wrong. And eventually, enough people will hear someone saying something stupid and then start ignoring it.
I think
that's the only
get
way to
worse.
Win the arguments.
I think it's going to get worse than that, Madman. I think it's your neighbor will determine hate speech and then report
you'll be denounced.
To the authorities. You know? That's,
oh, it's
going to
be the most. They're going to pull up the progressive stack, and that 1% of morons are going to get to choose what hate speech is, so everything's going to be arrestable. I know what it's going to be, but no one's going to care until we have people being hauled off to gulags because they said, I have a penis, I should piss in the men's room.
I think you're wrong. Gulag you go.
Static, were you trying to jump in there?
Nope.
Oh, I thought I saw your...
The only comment I have about it is, one, it's not in the U.S., so it doesn't affect me yet, so I don't really care. Let the little pansies who actually lay down their guns without a fight worry about it. And when it comes here, I'll have gun in hand and problem solved.
But it is here. It's already hate speech legislation is already passing in California. It's already passing in New York. It's being proposed in Georgia. It's being pushed by the Department of Justice and the Department of Education. Obama has already put out guidelines regarding speech for schools when it comes to race and transgendered issues and immigration issues. So it is here in the U.S. It's not been brought before Congress, but the alphabet soup is pushing this, and certain individual states have already passed hate speech legislation. It is an issue that we need to look at.
Again, I'm not worried about it because, one, it's Obama really is the one majorly pushing it, and he's on his way out, and Trump's going to win, and Trump will fix it. So there you go.
It's, and if he does repeal those executive actions, kudos. John Glenn was pulled from the space program by an executive order signed into law by the guy that got shot. JFK?
Yeah.
What was it, the president
shot
after him? Either JFK or the president, the vice president that took over for him, signed an executive order preventing one of our number one astronauts from going into space. That did not get removed by a president for over 40 years. It doesn't necessarily, a new president doesn't always undo everything the previous one did. They have to know about it and care enough to do it.
But the presidencies that we have had are nothing but pansy fucks, and they're all in cahoots together. I'm waiting for someone like Trump to actually come along and do something for the actual people.
I'm not saying that he won't. I'm just saying it's something that, as people, we need to push, or politicians won't care.
Go ahead, Reed.
If your great orange hope doesn't get up and Hillary's the next, where will your position be then?
Shooter.
I don't honestly think Hillary is going to be... There's so much shit going down with her email. I kind of think that the Democrats are going to... just do a switcheroo at the last minute. I don't think it'll be Sanders either. I don't know what they're going to do. But
no, it won't. You're correct. There, somebody else will be running against Trump. It won't be Hillary.
Oh, shape-shifting lizard people, please.
Oh, they can pull something on the floor of the Democrat National Convention. If they do, they're losing the election.
Well, they could do the same on our... Well, I'd say our side, just because I'm voting for whoever's named not Hillary Clinton. But, you know, they could pull the same on the Republican side and you know, run somebody
Trump
other than
Trump has already
too.
Locked down the nomination, so they can't pull it at the convention.
Well, they can change the rules at the convention and then give it to somebody
else. That affects
else.
The next convention. He's completely fine as far as this one goes. The nice anti-Trump conspiracy right now that the Never Trumpers have pulled up is you have to get 275 votes in the Electoral College to become president. If no one gets that number of votes, the votes go to the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives chooses who the president is. There
and
is,
they could choose somebody who didn't run.
There's no, they have to have actually announced and been on a ballot. But you don't have to get a majority of votes. So you might get two people to vote for you, but so long as you were a presidential candidate, the House of Representatives can elect you as president. That's so only happened once. It happened in 1825, and I think it was to Garfield.
Oh, so they run some independent who picks up a pittance of votes, and that guy becomes the next.
They need to pick up enough votes to prevent Hillary from getting the 275. So it can't be someone that just cuts into the Republicans, because then you're splitting that vote and almost guaranteeing a Democrat vote. It needs to be someone centrist enough to pick off enough Democrats to prevent either side from getting 275.
But
his name is French, if anyone wants to look into it.
We're getting a little off topic here, because I'm still wanting to focus on censorship. BSV, did you have anything on that? Because I don't think you got a chance.
I don't really know what else to add. It's they're pretty much locking down any other opinion that doesn't agree with them. And my question, though, is, so this is locking down hate speech in the EU. So are they gonna just be blocking hate speech from other parts of the world, or are they going to be cutting that out too?
Well, I kind of imagine that Facebook, Microsoft, Twitter, what was the fourth one on the list? Google?
YouTube.
Yeah. I imagine they're just going to delete it right out, because if it's accessible in the States, it's accessible in the EU, and most of these sites are kind of shared. So this raises an interesting question.
So why does the EU have right to determine what's going on in the U.S.?
Because those companies don't want to be cut out of Europe.
Yeah. They actually look at where your
Pacific Partnership.
Yeah,
where your IP is coming from, because there are already some videos on YouTube that you can watch in the UK that I can't watch in the US. And it's not because of censorship. It's because the BBC is taxpayer funded. So taxpayers in Britain can watch Doctor Who or whatever BBC programs there are. But if I try to watch them on YouTube on certain channels that are actually official, I can't watch them because I didn't pay tax dollars to fund them.
Yeah.
So YouTube has already got controls in place, edit based on region.
So this also raises a fun question. Or Galaxy 15 Radio, obviously, is not on this list. We're hosted purely in the United States, I think. Where the hell is the stream coming from? I'm pretty sure it's coming from the U.S.
I'm not sure where your server is, but I don't think your server host cares either.
So I have no intention of censoring for hate speech, because I think if somebody says something stupid, and I've said this from the beginning on G15, even back when we were doing IHN, and we said this back on IHN before we even started G15, because IHN actually came first. If somebody says something stupid, we're going to leave it in there so that we can mock them.
Exactly.
Such as wanting to shoot Hillary Clinton, or at least have her shot. I don't necessarily want to shoot her myself. I just want her shot, or at least packed in a box, stuck on a Russian rocket and shipped to the moon.
Isn't it sad that we have to pay the Russians to ship our politicians into space now?
Yes.
I'd rather someone say what they were thinking at the time, and then a week later apologize for it if they've changed their mind. You know what I mean?
Well, I have no intention of doing any kind of a filter, because I'm afraid I might offend somebody. I back off because I start getting a little crazy and thinking, okay, wait, this is not actually what I think. I'm just escalating for the sake of escalating. Yeah. But
never let it be said we never went too far.
Also, as far as I know, nothing I can say can physically harm anybody. At least I haven't figured that out yet. I'm working on it.
That's a, you know, unless you're talking about Dune, but you know, that's a fantastic point though, BSV. I mean, you know, the sticks and stones.
Stones will break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Yeah, I mean, so somebody said something you don't like. So fucking what? I mean, you know, it's like the XKCD comic. Somebody is wrong on the internet. Who cares? I mean,
quick to the reply button.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I have a admittedly I don't have comments on Galaxy 15, but that's just because I don't want to have to deal with spam, really. That's why I said go to the subreddit, let somebody who has spam filters deal with it. It's not that I couldn't, it's more I just don't
want laziness.
Yeah, laziness is a fantastic example. Although I've got this idea for what I want to do for the website, turning it into like this interface where you log in and it's got the stream playing and it's got the shows up there, and you know the IRC is front and center, so it doesn't look like a blog. It looks more like a I don't know, a cyber deck.
Well, one problem with the whole censorship thing isn't really offending someone. It's shaping public opinion. If Facebook is actively squelching certain ideas and promoting others, then eventually you're going to change the public's mind, and not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah, because you have a lot of people who just kind of, you know, I work with a few people who just, I got one guy I work with, drives me absolutely nuts. He will verbatim repeat television commercials as though they're fact. And, you know, like he was going around. He had bought some fruit snacks, I guess at Walmart. He was going around offering to people, talking about how they're the only ones with 100% juice in them. And it's like, dude, you are quoting a fucking television commercial. What are you doing?
And does he ever look at the nutritional facts and see the high fructose corn syrup, which I'm certain is in all of them?
No, they said it on TV. It must be true.
People won't lie to you.
He has zero skepticism of anything on TV.
Oh, can I have his phone number?
off
Hi, sir. This is Microsoft. There seems to be a virus on your computer.
Which
I doubt he'll fall for that one, but if you call him up and claim to be a...
Hi, I'm from the Sears catalog. You've just won $10,000. I just need your bank account details and your birth date as a verification.
He might fall for that one.
Oh, that's terrible.
But my point is, I mean, there are people like that out there, and I'd managed to insulate myself from most of them. So when I first started the show, God, 5 years ago? Have we really been doing this that long?
Yes.
And I didn't.
It's not even people that are gullible, but if you only hear a stat and not look into how that stat was generated, you can be truthfully misled.
Yeah.
The stat that women make 75 cents on the dollar compared to a man in the U.S. is true if you take all women in aggregate and all men in aggregate. But if you look at how they get that, they're comparing a part-time barista at Starbucks to a nuclear engineer. They're not taking a nuclear engineer and a nuclear engineer and then comparing the number of hours they work. So to get the actual wage disparity, you need to go a lot further than that one stat. But if you hear it and don't look into the methodology on how they got it, you're being brainwashed.
Yeah. So, final point on this. Should I set up a Dot Onion for Galaxy 15 Radio?
Tor's already been cracked, dude.
I know.
You've covered it.
Yeah, we talked about it, didn't we?
It's just when people listen to us, through a VPN, one day, I and maybe a couple others here, maybe the only voices you hear on the internet, because we don't care if we get hauled off to jail for free speech.
Oh, it won't be you guys getting hauled off, it'll be me, because I'm the one buying the fucking domain names.
Rock on. While you're in prison, can you... Oh, wait a minute. I can just pull the archives and learn how to set it up again myself.
Can you continue to administer the site from prison? The sad part is probably. It's like, wow, Morp's gotten really good shape. What happened? Prison.
He didn't want to get raped a lot.
Oh, fuck. Next up, discussion number two. I don't know that we'll be talking about this as long, but it is hilarious. I've got a story from the Register about it, and then I have TeamViewer's official statement. And this is relevant to the station because I use TeamViewer to get into the broadcast box. However, I imagine most of the people don't use it the way I use it. I have team, just to clarify, for the broadcast box, after you log in with TeamViewer, so you need the TeamViewer password, it then asks you for the Windows local password because it locks the box every time you log off of it because it's not a, it's not like a desktop. Like, I don't, okay, occasionally when I needed to, but I very rarely use the broadcast box for anything other than running Mix and TeamViewer and TeamSpeak to run the show. In fact, I think I'm the only one still using it. We originally set it up so that a few others could run shows, but I don't think anybody but me is still using it because most of the shows either went on hiatus, and I have no idea how Lore is doing the fade. So I guess we lost Aryu there. It looks like he's had to run off and handle something. They're probably coming to arrest him for his hate speech right now.
No, his country hasn't actually joined the EU yet. They're just a step behind it. But the Brexit may put a firewall between him and being hauled off to prison, depending on how the vote goes.
So, anyways, there's still a lot up in the air about this because it literally just happened yesterday, which would be the first for anybody listening to this in the archives or, you know, later in the week. There are a lot of people claiming TeamViewer got popped. And they're saying, so the article from the Register here, in the past 24 hours, we've seen a spike in complaints from people who say their PCs, Macs, and servers were taken over via a widely used remote control tool on their machines. Even users with strong passwords and two-factor authentication enabled on their TeamViewer accounts say they were hit. Wait, TeamViewer does two-factor? Fuck, I gotta redo how we do TeamViewer.
That means a program you're using as a hobby to administer a radio station few people care about is more secure than the average checking account on the internet.
Yes. Dude, your fucking World of Warcraft account is more secure than the average checking account.
True.
On the
but that thing's valuable. I had fully decked out Max characters when I stopped. They're
Where's
never going to decline
account
in value.
Has like $40 in it. So, notice he did not dispute it.
Nope, my savings account has most of my money.
Oh, I will spend yeah, it's got it. About $200 in it.
A little over $1,000 right now, which isn't
doing
much better.
Than me.
I will concede.
I just got hit with a ton of bills, so my savings are a little hit at the moment too. So,
yeah. Well, I should have 3 months worth of living expenses, but I don't.
I've got about half a month. That's terrible, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yep. You should all have at least 3 months worth of living expenses in a savings account,
and at least a month
buying
worth of food
and hardware.
Well, it yeah. Partly hardware and partly just got hit with a bunch of stuff all at the same time. But here in a month or so, I'll be back on my be back to good. But gotta juggle everything until then, right?
Oh, the horror! I'm only gonna have electricity, air conditioning, and all the food I could ever eat. What a first world problem!
Thank you for putting it into perspective so succinctly, Madman.
Yes, but all the food you can eat is. That's just a lot of ramen.
Yeah, you know, but it's all the ramen he can eat.
In college, I lived off ramen for like 3 months, and I couldn't touch it for years after that.
Every I'm on once the ramen in a while, it's diet.
What'd you say, are you?
I'm on the ramen diet right now. I'm spending money on power tools and stuff.
Yeah, so. Anyways, back
for
to your story.
For use of a jackhammer, you want to fly down under.
I say you can use it. Yeah, come to my house. You use a free jackhammer for a month.
All jackhammering you can do. You also bought a trampoline in a drunken attempt to fly using a jackhammer.
No, I was pointed out. I wasn't shopping on Amazon drunk.
Well, at least you're doing better than me. I buy domains when I'm drunk. Anyways, yeah. Even the users. Okay, where was I? It appears miscreants gain control of victims' TeamViewer web accounts and use those to connect into computers, where they seized web browsers to empty PayPal accounts, access webmail, and order stuff from Amazon and eBay. Hackers got everything from me, Doug, an Idaho-based Twitch streamer who is looking forward to celebrating his birthday today with his wife and his two kids, told the Register. They were connected in at 5 a.m. Mountain Time. Went into my Chrome, used my PayPal to buy about $3,000 worth of gift cards. And yes, I had two-factor authentication. So, buddy here had TeamViewer set up on his main box that he had saved his PayPal credentials in his browser. I don't know about you guys. I never save my credentials. Yeah, it's a pain in the ass to type them in all the time, but I don't like the idea of saving passwords in my browser. I really don't. I never have. BSV, do you save your passwords in your browser?
No.
I like the insulted sound you just say. It's like, what? Me? No.
I don't know why you would do that.
I'm not accusing you. I'm asking.
I know. I'm just still confused at why people do that.
It's because your computer's the most secure thing on the planet. It's never going to get popped, and it will remember your 30 passwords for you.
Yeah.
It gets even better. TeamViewer. So, there are people saying they had two-factor authentication and really strong passwords. TeamViewer put out a statement yesterday. TeamViewer experienced a service outage on Wednesday, June the 1st, 2016. The outage was caused by a denial-of-service attack aimed at the TeamViewer DNS server infrastructure. TeamViewer immediately responded to the fix by to bring all servers back up. We unplugged it and plugged it back in. Some online media outlets falsely linked the incident with past claims by users that their accounts have been hacked and theories about would-be security breaches at TeamViewer. We have no evidence that these issues are related. TeamViewer goes on to basically say you're using shit passwords and that's why you got hacked. So
it's a he said, she said. Who committed the rape?
I did, because I run TeamViewer on the broadcast box as soon as I saw the stories this morning. Oh yeah, you know I connected to the broadcast box and started going over those logs, right? Oh, by the way, for anybody who wants to know, if you're running TeamViewer, when you pull it up, it's under, actually I'll pull it up right now, it's under extras, open log files, and it'll bring up the folder with all the logs in it, and the most recent one will even be highlighted, so you can go in there and see what's happened on your machine with TeamViewer. And since I only have the one machine that even accepts remote control connections, and it's got a password on that, and then you got to get past the Windows password, I checked. There was some weirdness going on with TeamViewer yesterday. It does look like it was having issues connecting to their network. But I had no evidence of anybody trying to log into the broadcast box, which is nice. On the same time, I was kind of disappointed because it's like you could have at least tried. But
I guess you'd all tot it up for the prom and no one wanted to fuck you.
You know. It's like, damn it. All of the shit I have logging on my network, I could have had so much fun. That's the thing I hate about these, is you hear about people getting hacked and they have their machines fully full. It's like, and you have no logs? You couldn't figure out where the connections are coming from? No.
It annoys me when it's a corporation. Because most of those, especially a mid-sized to large corporation, you should have people looking at that.
Yes, you should.
I had to throw in the mid-size to large because there's a lot of things that should have originally been proprietorships turning into corporations just for the tax protections. And if you're a one-man pizza shop that still could do his payroll on an actual paper spreadsheet, I don't give a fuck what you do on your net. I'm just not going to use a debit card to pay for my pizza.
So... I really just want to point out how to get to your logs in TeamViewer, see if anybody tried to get into your machine, and maybe keep an eye on that, because if they were attacking the DNS infrastructure, that to me sounds like somebody trying to distract TeamViewer while they did some kind of a man in the middle, especially if the machines couldn't connect to DNS and somebody was able to take over a domain name for a bit. You could totally fake out the authentication service if you knew what you were doing, get in the middle of that, and just return no matter what password you punched in, that it was okay. Kind of thing, and get into people's machines. But this means that people are running TeamViewer set up so you can remote into it, and it's their primary machine. I don't even leave my primary machine on when I'm not home, but that's mainly because I'm concerned about the water cooling failing.
What if I want to try to play I don't know Overwatch from my tablet that can't run that. I need to remote into a beefier machine.
I've done that, and what I ended up doing was walking upstairs, turning the beefy machine on, and going back downstairs and using the shitty machine to play, okay, it was technically Ark, but I guess you could do that on a tablet. Although I don't know that I would want to play something like Overwatch, which is a Twitch shooter across the streaming connection. So, I mean, what do you think, man?
You get popped. It's your own fault. That's how I'm saying. Like, if I'm not at my computer, it's not on.
To an extent, I believe it's your own fault because you should know better than leaving your wallet on a bench in Central Park. But you should be able to leave your wallet on a bench in Central Park. People shouldn't steal. You shouldn't break into your shit. You're either allowed there or you're not.
It'd be nice if the world worked that way, Madman, but...
Well, I just don't want to minimize the fault of the actual perpetrators. Yeah, you should have probably taken better shit, care of your shit, but it's still someone else's fault you got popped.
Yeah.
Alright. Next story up, this is from OwnCloud, and there's basically been a shitstorm lately between OwnCloud and several people. The past couple of days, they've had a couple of their lead developers leave. And today they announced they were forming a fork of OwnCloud called NextCloud. If anybody's not aware, OwnCloud is a web server. A lot of people set them up on like Raspis and home servers and stuff like that. Google Docs, file access over a web browser, a couple of other things. I played with it for a little while for a G15. And it's okay. I don't particularly have much use for it myself. But we tried it for some... Actually trying to... I think it was a D&D game we were trying it with, wasn't it? But,
You may have looked at it. It didn't get far enough to actually roll up characters.
No, it didn't. It didn't do what we needed, so I moved away from it. But, So here's the interesting bit. Several people who were working with OwnCloud have left and founded a company called NextCloud and forked the project. And so the OwnCloud thing, the OwnCloud has a blog post talking about how sad they are and how unexpected it was, and you know they don't understand why this person's doing this to them, and they're horrible people for contributing code for free to OwnCloud and then deciding to fork their own because they don't agree with the politics. Here's the weird bit. The last paragraph of the OwnCloud blog post. Unfortunately, the announcement has consequences for OwnCloud Incorporated, based in Lexington, Missouri. No, wait. MA. That's Maine. Anyways, so our main lenders in the U.S. have canceled our credit. Following American law, we are forced to close the doors of OwnCloud Inc. with immediate effect and terminate the contracts of 8 employees. The OwnCloud GBMH is not directly affected by this, and the growth of the OwnCloud Foundation will remain a key priority. Because OwnCloud is based also has a base in Germany, they're closing their American office because of this fork. And apparently their creditor immediately yanked their funding the moment a fork was announced. So something else is going on here between OwnCloud and NextCloud. Just because somebody announced a competing product is not enough for your creditor to yank out your credit from under you.
I don't know. If they're trying to use the product as collateral, I don't know of a creditor that would do that on an open source project because you can't control the income stream from, if there is an income stream.
Not much of one, since OwnCloud Community basically did everything. Enterprise was really just paying for support. Very few companies actually, I doubt very many companies would run OwnCloud support because, well, frankly, Google and Microsoft have better products. And if you're going to pay for something, unless you're specifically trying to support an open source project, I'm not certain why you'd pick something like OwnCloud over, you know, one of the cloud solutions.
You wouldn't. You'd literally do it for pushing the product, or at least the ideology behind the product. Does it go into what the differences in ideology are?
So this is all still unfolding, but the primary theory is that the people who left were upset because OwnCloud was putting together a community council on only was like out of 9 positions, only 2 people were going to be from the actual like GitHub communities. The rest were going to be people who work for the company. So I don't know. A lot of internecine politics. It's just interesting that because a fork was announced, they yanked their credit. It's like, hello, which means OwnCloud, you know, they said they laid 8 people off because a fork was announced. It's just kind of like something else is going on there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, there has to be something else shaky.
So, next article is from Engadget and is hilarious. The German city of Augsburg has already tried putting traffic lights in the ground to keep cell phone obsessed pedestrians from walking onto train tracks. But the Australian state of New South Wales wants to take things one step further. It tells Mashable that it's going to install ground-based traffic lights at key crosswalks in Sydney, likely its central business district. Well, no shit. It's the capital. As part of a trial starting in December. The aim, unsurprisingly, is to prevent an unpleasant encounter with a car while you're busy texting your friends. There's no mention of how quickly these lights would expand if the trial goes forward, but it's easy to see them popping up at many bus intersections if they take off. After all, okay, blah, 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 with editorial. So, basically, there's such a problem with people walking out into traffic because they're looking at their phones and not where they're going. They're going to put traffic lights on the ground so you can see them while you're watching your phone.
No. Okay, two things, Morps. One, Sydney is not the capital. Canberra is. And there should be more natural selection.
Yes.
Sydney's not the capital of Australia?
No, Sydney is not.
Really?
Canberra is.
Damn. I'm sorry, I'm American.
Easy mistake to make. It's the most urban dense, but it is definitely not the capital.
Oh.
Our capital is way inland as to prevent fire from ships back in the day. Sydney is a coastal city, therefore not deemed worthy enough to be the capital.
Why did I
easily invaded.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, obviously I picked up a bad piece of info somewhere and then just never left until now.
A lot of people think Sydney's the capital because it's the most urban dense. Oh, and it has the Sydney Harbour Bridge, the Sydney Opera House. It has big landmarks. So Sydney Harbour.
I will claim I was misinformed. Cool.
Yeah.
But I'm with Aryu on this one. We need to find ways of weeding out our stupid people since bears and alligators are no longer a large enough threat to the species as a whole.
And again, watch where you're walking. Why?
Think we should just implement the Google glue trap on buses so you can count the number of stupid people the bus driver took out on his daily rounds, and he should get a bonus based on the number of people there.
I got a little old lady on the sidewalk.
She was old and ready to die anyway.
Yeah, as opposed to the healthcare system having to take care of her.
Exactly. Madman,
they only count positively if they still have the cell phone in their hand.
I can go with that.
Hang on, guys. I got to stop and duct tape a cell phone back into a corpse's hand. Don't worry about it.
Get the dummy cell phone out.
To help.
But, so next, are they just going to directly send the traffic light signals to the cell phones? Because I'm pretty sure these people are so intently watching their cell phones aren't really going to notice the ground either.
BSV. You and I are going to talk startup here after the show, because that is a fantastic idea. Little push notification right to the phone based on proximity? Yeah, I think that's...
Don't walk into the street, you'll die. Don't walk into the street, you'll fucking die.
By the way, if you're going to poo, make sure you poo in the loo and install Windows 10.
Oh, God, I love that commercial. The greatest 4 minutes of my life.
Right. Next story up is from Wired.com. The FBI has been issuing national security letters for decades. The controversial subpoenas, which allow the feds to obtain customer records and transaction data from the internet service providers and other companies without a court order, come with a perpetual gag order that prevents recipients from disclosing they've even received NSL. Only a small handful of recipients have ever publicly disclosed that they got one from the government, and only after lengthy court battles challenging the subpoenas. But today, Yahoo became the first company to go public about the NSLs it received without needing to duke it out with the feds in court. That's because last year, lawmakers passed the USA Freedom Act, which required the U.S. attorney to establish guidelines for the FBI to periodically assess when an NSL gag order is no longer necessary and to lift it when that's the case. Under those guidelines, what? So apparently Wired, I'm not going to finish that story now. So we're going to go find this from somewhere else. Apparently Wired is running a thing with an ad blocker, and they just blocked me reading the story.
Nice.
Yeah, right in the middle of the story, it just popped up and said, you're running an ad blocker, and you can pay $1 and sign in, or, turn off the ads. So we're going to go find the story.
That's what NoScript's for.
Don't ask. Okay. Yeah. Yahoo NSLs.
All right. Under these guidelines, the FBI must review gag orders either once the investigation involving the NSL closes or 3 years after the investigation was opened, when the case is still ongoing.
Here we go. I got the article from the Tech Times. So, fuck you, Wired. You notice we don't do articles from Forbes anymore, either.
We is cheap radio.
No, I'm... Okay, look. I don't care if you look at ads or not. And the problem is that ads usually have malware in them. This is where CryptoLocker came from. ESPN, Yahoo, Business Insider, several other websites were caught hosting CryptoLocker and Angler exploit kit through their ad networks. So, fuck them. If you think I can't run an ad blocker, fuck you. I'm going to go get the article from somewhere else.
That's what I mean. Like, they've just lost a customer. They just lost someone that they, was but using their service.
Not just the customers. I was directing, here's the link. I was telling other people to go look at the article.
Yep.
So, fuck it. So here's from techtimes.com. On June 1st, the company publicly announced the Federal Bureau of Investigation previously issued national security letters to obtain information and published three letters. This marks the first time the company has been able to do it, blah, 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 what I've already read. At this point, the gag order is lifted in the Yahoo case. This means the FBI has officially given Yahoo the green light to address these letters, although private information remains censored. The letters were received in April of 2013, August of 2013, and June of 2015, and Yahoo reveals that it did comply with the NSL demands, and I don't blame them, because if you don't...
you get shot.
Yeah. Because, they're already saying you can't even talk about this. If you say no, they're going to shoot you and bury the body, and nobody's ever going to know. What happened to him? He was in a gay club and got murdered.
We found him duct taped to a chair in a gimp costume, mumbling something about postal.
Yeah.
No, to be fair, they'll just put another gag order on whoever asks.
Yeah. Specifically, we produced the name, address, and length of service for each of the accounts identified in two of the NSLs, and no information in response to the third NSL, as the specified account did not exist within our system. The company Yeah, we're looking for the screen name Joe Blow 64. That doesn't exist.
Oh, God. So they're not even doing enough homework to know where these... That's even worse, blanket subpoenaing.
Each NSL included a non-disclosure provision that prevented Yahoo from previously notifying its users of or the public of their existence. Two of the national security letters were sent from an FBI agent in Dallas, Texas, Bureau's office, where the other was sent from Charlotte, North Carolina. According to the letters, the FBI now knows not only the account numbers, names, addresses, phone numbers, and length of service for the specified accounts, but also has the activity logs and activity transaction records, so they, the log files. The logs can include the user's IP address that they used at this name, the transaction records of billing information, and credit card info. Billing information. You can pay Yahoo for something?
Don't know.
Didn't know Yahoo had anything you paid for. I thought they were, standard search engine advertising network. The FBI knows the sender and recipient address on each email, which means they know to who these specific users were communicating with. Yahoo has also turned over screen names associated with the account, URL related to the account, hardware information such as the ISDN or DSL data, and names of upstream and downstream providers. Yahoo releasing the national security letters allow more discussions regarding NSLs and the demands for user data. So, it
doesn't solve the problem I have with NSLs, which is, how can I defend myself if I don't know I have a warrant put out for me?
The answer is always defend yourself no matter what. And that's hard.
It's just going to happen one day. Someone in a nice uniform with a bunch of guns are going to knock on people's doors and say, "Hi, sir, you've been found guilty of X. It's time to be taken off for sentencing."
They're not even going to do that. You're going to be sitting at a restaurant one day, having some tempura, joking with friends, and the next thing you know, a black bag is going to be put over your face. You're going to be dragged off to your vans. Your friends are to a van. Your friends are going to get NSL letters. And, Yeah, shields up, people. If you're not already protecting yourself, you really should. I've got something in Digital Dojo that when we get to it, I was very happy to say when I checked for myself, had nothing on it, which means, yes, I was doing it right. So, next article up is from Fox News. Teen hacks North Korean Facebook using the password.
Nice.
Please say it was Kim Jong-un. I want Kim Jong-un's password to be password. It would be the greatest password ever, for the dear leader developed it himself.
It's the story that sounds like a Seth Rogen movie sequel. A British teenager has hacked into North Korea's version of Facebook using the password. 18-year-old Scottish student Andrew McKean has admitted to hacking the recently launched Best Korean social network.
Wow.
Who names this shit?
It just really lost something in translation.
Best Korean social network. God. A number one King Super Buffet. God.
Right next to the pet store.
The Best Korean social network. Discovered combo number two with egg roll.
I'll have some crunchy Breathe king prawns, thank you.
We discovered. Do they have donuts? Only Madman and Static are gonna get that joke. When he discovered North Korean's IT department had made the classic mistake of not changing the default social security... I can't even read it. The default security settings. Just hours after the communist clone of the world's famous social network went live, Motherboard reports McKean realized he was able to take control of the site by using the default combination of the username admin and the default password.
Whoa, hang on. The communist? The fascist? There's no party. It's just him.
The article says communist. I agree with you. I think they're fascist too. But anyways.
Communism's yeah, so not password. A political plan. Technically, it's an economic model.
Then they link it to the interview. So he said he didn't do anything. Instead, he just left a message. I didn't create this site, I just found the login. The Korean social network has been taken offline, and presumably the network admins are working on their excuses.
No, so, they've been shot.
Meant to the dogs.
No, they're the special now.
So you don't waste with me. If we decide not going to shoot you, you will now be turned into Unix.
I'm the terrible hacker that wouldn't have really damaged anything, but I also wouldn't have told anyone. And Kim Jong-un would have had the greatest 4 weeks of random posts ever from 4chan. It's like Swamps of Dagobah translated into Korean and stuck on his Facebook page.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Oh, copy paste in a babel fish. It would have been amazing.
I got that weird taste in my mouth. Oh, again, fuck. Batman. You've got to stop talking.
Toasty!
I need more water.
All right, let's move on to this. Yo! Hadouken! I don't remember where I got the Kabuki Theater sample, but anyways, let's see. This is from betanews.com. This is actually a fairly nice little article. It's kind of a no-duh for anybody who's been paying attention. But one of the concerns for those focused on privacy, at least, with the likes of Siri, Cortana, and OK Google, is that the way these features work means they are constantly listening to what you say. In the case of Google, these recordings are stored in the cloud for the company to use to improve the service. But voice recognition is an art rather than a science, and your phone is not always able to distinguish between commands you direct at it and ordinary conversation. As such, Google may well have recorded audio of you going about your daily business. The good news is that you can review these recordings and delete any of them or all of them if you want. For many people, the fact that Google is storing recordings of your voice will not be news, but a year ago this month, the company launched an online portal that allows users to stay in control to some extent over the information stored about them. And what has Google gathered in the past 12 months? You might be surprised to discover that it's much more than the commands you issue to launch apps, set reminders, and navigate through your music. Head over to the Voice and Audio Activity page of your Google account. You will be presented with a list of recordings that Google has stored. The author looked at his own account and was intrigued to find not only various commands that had been clearly directed at the phone, but also recordings of conversations he'd had in the car. Google had mistakenly, thought he had said, "Okay, Google," and started recording. Deleting recordings is a simple matter of taking the box and anything next to it. When I checked my own, there were none on it, which means I set up my phone right in the first place. So, anyways, so if you run Android or you use any of Google's voice services, you can use this to check and see if they have any stored recordings of you. So it's a link to history.google.com/history/audio. So mine was blank, so I don't know about you guys, but Bob's a big Android head. We might want to make sure he's aware of this.
All the random searches I've asked Google from my smartphone. That's going to be amazing to see.
Well, it may now have the recording of the rest of this. Your side of this podcast.
Entire episodes of pure decking in there. That would be all. Oh, fuck. Hi, Google engineers listening to this. Just start directing messages at the people reviewing your recordings. Hi, Google engineers. We think you should install Windows 10. Oh, I wouldn't put that past Microsoft to have bots just playing that wave over and over again in the Google Voice.
More spammed advertising.
Zykros is apparently using the voice translate in Google to talk to IRC. Dude, that explains a lot. It really does. Anyways, last article I have up is actually pretty cool. This is called LinuxJourney.com. This is a website all about learning how to navigate through Linux. And just picking on some of the different articles here, they have everything broken down as... Actually, it looks like the documentation I've seen for several programming languages. So if you click on a subsection on, like I'm looking at logging right now, and on the very far left, it'll have the topics, syslog, general logging, kernel logging, authentication logging. And it actually talks about different ways of accessing the logs throughout Linux. If you're not very familiar with Linux, this is actually a fantastic way to learn to navigate it. So command line text foo and advanced text foo are all worth your time looking into if you don't really know how to work, say, Vim or simple bash command operations. Like looking at the text foo, they actually have different operations broken down on the left. Grep, word count, unic, translate, sort, tail, head, paste, cut. I mean, all of the basic bash stuff. So if you need to learn how to really manipulate the Linux command line, this website's fantastic. Especially, it's got good references to everything on here too. So doesn't look complete. Looks like he's still adding to it, but there's enough on here for this to be useful. So if you're not familiar with Linux, I recommend taking a look at this. If you are familiar with Linux,
it's a great reference tool.
It is a good reference tool. Of course, Linux has the built-in man pages, so you can always have fun with man finger. But and then you can finger your servers. So that's when you give your servers appropriate names for that. But that's an old Linux joke.
I want to finger my ass.
So I'm going to assume you have a server named My Ass, and you're not actually talking about a personal sex act.
Yep. I actually know that finger joke you've used.
I've used it before.
Once again, gross. Like,
my ass, your ass. There's a lot of ass jokes you can...
That doesn't beat the name of my file server at a LAN party elsewhere. It's on elsewhere. What? No, I know it's not on that server. It's on other server. That'd be another good name for one. BSV, what's your personal server name and conventions?
Hmm.
I like that one.
Yeah, that's an excellent one.
That's all I got. I can play stupid sound effects for 20 minutes, or I can close out the show. What do you guys want to do?
Am I the only one that thinks in a computer class starting in high school, shouldn't be set in front of a GUI? You should learn command line and work your way up. I know that's going to be kind of hypocritical coming from me because I've forgotten everything I've ever known about command line, but I think it would actually be useful for people to learn computing in computers.
I think your computers, when you sit down in high school, should not be modern computers or tablets or Windows machines at all. It should be Commodore 64s. Or Amigas, or what's the? Are you help me out? What was the one in England? Spectrum.
Spectrum, yeah, the Spectrum.
It should be an 8-bit machine that you have to manually manipulate memory in to, you know, or program from, you know, an interface to do anything. So. It should not be a modern machine, because if you learn the basics on an 8-bit machine, you know what's going on under the hood. If you know what peaks and pokes do, if you know, you know, how to manipulate sprites by setting up a chunk of video memory and then referencing that video memory to move an image around the screen, which means you actually know what's going on under the hood, as opposed to... You know, hell, I've been looking into mobile app development lately, and most of them recommend, oh, go grab Unity, and then use Unity script or the Unreal Engine, which their scripting engine looks like freaking code blocks. Now, both of those you can actually use C# or C++, so you can actually program them if you want to. But, you know, you see all this crap, which is so abstracted away from what the computer's actually doing. It's no wonder you gotta buy new hardware every 2 years. It's because the software is so fucking bloated, it's amazing it can work at all. But, I mean, hell, I had a desktop on the Commodore. I don't remember what it was called now. It started with a Q. I think. Geos! No, Q is Q Basic. Geos works. Freaking desktop on a Commodore. Used the joystick because I didn't have a mouse. But I remember making my own fonts on that shit, dude. I mean, if you want to teach somebody computing, don't give them a fucking Windows machine. Don't give them Linux. Give them a machine that you actually have to understand what it's doing. Understand memory addresses. Understand storage access, although, well, on a Commodore, that's a little much, because it was all... accessing the floppy drive on the Commodore 64 is actually a networking operation. maybe not that one, but My point is you should be working on much more basic machines to learn what they do. Or hell, maybe even on a, oh my god, are you? Why would you post that?
Nightmare fuel.
Yeah, I'd say that certainly fits the bill. I mean...
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That Donald Trump.
Amongst others, yes.
Okay, I'm gonna just try. My rant is gone. My train of thought's gone.
Just try and picture the person who decided to do that artwork.
No, I don't want to picture that artwork anymore.
Hang on, I have an appropriate response to that. It's just gonna take me a second to load it up. I'm gonna build a new rocket.
Does it involve snails and a rocket?
I have testicular cancer.
There we go.
Thank you. I knew I'd never regret that.
And if you hadn't pointed it out, I wouldn't have clipped it out. That's all I got. I don't know. Anybody have anything else? I'm just going to play the Pac-Man sound and close out the show at this point.
I'm good. That's I'm ending it. On my art piece.
Do you have something, BSV? You lit up for a second.
Just laughing.
Static.
I'm kind of drunk.
He's admiring the art piece.
That's my response to it.